Good afternoon and welcome. You are listening to The Word here on Ujima Radio. Miranda here through till 6 o'clock tonight. I'm really looking forward to introducing my next guest because I'm so excited to share the amazing work that they're doing. But I'm just going to get them to introduce themselves first. Comfort, tell us who you are and what you do.
My name's Comfort Arthur, and I work as the assistant director for Jojo and Gran Gran. And now I've moved on to work as the episodic director. And I work under the series director, Ben Halloware, who has been mentoring me for the past few months into becoming an episodic director for Jojo and Gran Gran.
And that is Jojo and Gran Gran, that's for the CBBS.
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool. And then we've also got joining us today is Catherine. Catherine, could you tell us a little bit about yourself as well?
Yes, so I'm Catherine. I'm the co-MD and senior producer at A Productions, and A Productions is a Bristol-based animation studio. We've got one studio in Old Market and the other one next door to the Bristol Beacon, and we produce lots of work for the BBC, Sesame Street, and produce Jojo and Gran Gran, which is the first preschool animation that centres around a Black British family. And it's a BBC in-house production, and we are lucky enough to produce the animation for it out of our Bristol-based studio.
Wow. And I just feel like, how can I have not known about you guys? What incredible work you're doing as well. But I know that the kind of ethos and the work that you do is very important to you. Can you kind of explain what I'm hearing to, Catherine?
Absolutely. So we are lucky enough to work on lots of iconic brands, but one of the biggest one is Jojo and Gran Gran, which we're lucky enough to have Comfort work on. That's a show we do for CBeebies, and unbelievably, it's the first show that centres around Black British family. And so when we were asked to produce the show, we knew how important it was that we had a real authentic voice behind it. And so as a studio, we worked really hard to make sure that we created a diverse and inclusive team as possible. And I'm pleased to say that we've been doing that for sort of over 3 years now. And actually, rather than doing it just for that show, which of course is important, it's now something that really is our ethos and culture of the whole studio and our approach to all our productions.
Comfort, for anybody who is listening that maybe doesn't know much about Jojo and Gran Gran, can you just tell us a little bit? Because I know our listeners will be so fascinated with this.
So Jojo and Gran Gran is about a 4-year-old girl called Jojo and her Gran Gran. And it's a show that shows, the relationship between a granddaughter and her grandmother. And each episode shows different activities that they go through everyday life. And by the end, there's always that I love you, Gran Gran, and I love you too, Jojo. And it's just every episode shows that love that a grandmother has for the granddaughter. It's the first show that has centered on a Black British family, something that we've not seen in the UK. So it is a big show and a very important show that covers a lot of diverse issues.
That's amazing. It's absolutely iconic. Tell us about some of the issues that you can cover in a show like this and how you do it in a way that kids are going to understand and enjoy.
So especially season one, there was an episode called Hair, where it talked about hair, black hair, which it's still a big topic to talk about hair. And Jojo and Gran Gran covered the issue of how black hair is washed and how it's styled. And that's such an important issue because representation matters. And for a lot of children of color, they haven't got to have the chance to see their representation of their characters. So episode like that celebrates black hair was such an important, episode that Jojo and Gran Gran actually showed.
It's absolutely awe-inspiring. I love it. The response that we have on Ujima when we do subjects or topic matter like this is always overwhelming. And I was really delighted to see in the British Podcast Awards this year that a podcast specifically about black hair won a major award. So it's just fantastic. And it just shows how much people are relating to the stuff that you're doing. How did you actually come about with the idea? What inspired you for these shows?
Technically, it's a BBC show, and the creator is Laura Henry Allen, and
Okay.
it's from her children's book, and it was commissioned by BBC to create this show.
Okay, fantastic. So you were brought in to be, would it be the director?
The episodic director.
Episodic director. Yeah.
Yeah, Miranda, just to give you a bit of background on that, the
Yeah.
BBC, basically, it's what you call an in-house production. So it was a BBC show that they commissioned through the creator, Laura Henry Allen, as Comfort mentioned. But what the BBC do is they then go to independent production studios like ourselves and ask to pitch for these shows. And obviously, we pitched and we were lucky enough to work on it. And then, of course, Comfort was a fantastic episode director to bring into the show because she's so creative and has such a wonderful way of approaching these stories.
I love that. A Productions, you've undertaken a wide range of activities as well, haven't you, to ensure talent from all sorts of groups and all stages. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the big thing for us is animation is obviously an incredibly important aspect of Bristol City and the sort of creative jobs that are here. But there is a perception that to be working animation, you have to be an animator. There are a million and one jobs that fall under working in animation. And so we wanted to show people through different outreach opportunities, free animation training courses, mentoring schemes, the kind of wealth of jobs there were in animation to bring in as many different voices into each production that we could.
So, if anybody's listening and they're thinking, oh, I'd like to know a little bit more about that, have these opportunities passed or are they ongoing?
No, absolutely, they're ongoing. We've got lots of shows kicking off in autumn. We recently did a production networking event to open up production sides of animation. So those are kind of jobs like production assistants and coordinators, who are the people that kind of keep productions going, the non-creative roles, as it were. Did a open evening where people can come and find out about it. We're going to be running lots more of those come autumn, and that will be for animation and jobs like layout and scene prep, where you're producing all the tools that an animator needs to be able to do their job. So we'll be running those events through the autumn time. We'll also be doing some free animation courses because we're very conscious that sometimes attending university can be a real blocker for people getting into the industry. So when we have done free animation courses in the past, and it'll be the same for our future ones, we want to make clear that as long as you've got the creativity, we don't expect you to have a degree. We want you to come if you've got that talent. So you can apply, even if you have no industry experience or no degree experience, to really bring in different people at different stages of life. And maybe people who have been doing completely different jobs but have always wanted to, they can come and do these free animation courses. And in the past, I think we took on 8 people for the animation course, and I think 4 went through and then got jobs at different roles at the studio.
I'd love to ask you, Comfort, about your experience as a black woman trying to break into the industry. Did you come across any barriers yourself?
So my journey into getting into directing has been an interesting one. As you know, I graduated and in 2009 at the Royal College, and you think that after that you'll get a job straight away. But it wasn't the case. And I ended up working in a supermarket for years before moving to Ghana and then working as a film editor and then started making my own films and directing my own shorts. Then I came into the UK again. There was that issue of trying to get in until I met Catherine and her team and A Productions, and they were looking for a director, an assistant director role for JoJo and Gran Gran, and they created that opportunity for me. And as I said, if it wasn't for, A Productions opening that space for me to direct on this level, it would not be possible. So it has been very tricky, but I'm just, grateful for this opportunity to actually direct on a very important show such as JoJo and Gran Gran.
It's absolutely groundbreaking, isn't it? And pioneering. I mean, it's just such a shame that it's taken till 2022 for something like this to happen. How do you see moving forward, Comfort, that we can? I mean, obviously, what A Productions is doing is great and hopefully will influence other people. How do you see that we can make improvements in the future?
I think what A Production is doing is very great. It's a starting point for more conversation about getting more, especially female, black female directors into these spaces, especially in terms of animation. There is not a lot. And it's such a good thing just to set that people are slowly realizing that there are, you know, people like me having this opportunity to direct in these spaces. And I know that, yes, things are happening now. I have a positive outlook in this, that very soon there will be more female voices telling authentic stories such as Jojo and Gran Gran, and more shows that will come out like Jojo and Gran Gran.
I'm so proud of the work that you're doing, that it's coming out of Bristol as well. You know, it's absolutely fantastic.
Comfort joined the studio, and we were lucky enough to get external funding, which was supported by the BBC, to make sure that we had this position where she could work closely with a series director, which is fully funded and throughout the whole length of the production, to really upskill and mentor Comfort, so that at the end of this production, you know, she will be fully equipped to go on and take on other roles. But we need to, as an industry, big things are happening and there is more support, but we need to do more and more. And I think what Comfort is doing, and just her growth across this whole production and how far she's come, and I know she's, you know, going to go on to do even more amazing things, is the fact that we proved it works and we need to do more of it.
Catherine, I'd love to know maybe a little bit more about some of the wider work that you're doing there at A Productions.
We put great emphasis on creating a diverse and inclusive workforce. So we now commission diversity inclusion reports, which tell us where we're at and also where we want to go. So we set ourselves challenges and it gives us something to kind of judge ourselves on to make sure we're making the progress that we want to do. We also know that in order to create a more diverse team in the future and a more inclusive team on every production, we need to go right back to earlier stages, which means we now go into schools and do free workshops to show kids the kind of creative world and the creative jobs there are. And we also go into universities, we do workshops, we do work placements, we do all of this, because it's not just about pulling in people, you know, in their 20s, it's showing people at school age that there are jobs in the industry. And that's how we create a much more interesting workforce that can bring so many more and different and authentic stories to the table.
Comfort, how important do you think it is that, you know, these kind of issues are addressed at school level? And how would it have influenced you or changed you, do you think, if you'd seen people like you at a younger age?
I think it's very important. For me, when I was growing up, most of my parents was very much about academic subjects such as math, science and English, but never on the creative side. And I think that's with a lot of, you know, African parents, they want, you know, either doctor or lawyer and stuff like that. And I think it's very important at a young stage that, you know, parents do support their kids in the creative sides of things, to encourage them that there are, you know, job prospects after, I mean, do when you do creative stuff. So I do think it is very important, even at a young age, doing workshops for kids, because some kids don't even know that there's a potential to do animation because they haven't had the experience or hasn't had the taste of like doing stop motion or any sort of animation. So I do think at a young age, it is really important to do things like that.
Absolutely fantastic. Catherine McQueen and Comfort Arthur from A Productions, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.